I sit and stare at the paper in a daze, then reread it twice. I had no idea what I expected, but this was not it. How can he say he isn't romantic? The charm bracelet on my wrist and this beautiful, somewhat disturbing, but mostly beautiful letter shows otherwise. He even used the first paragraph of Darcy's letter to Elizabeth. Now that he's bared himself to me, I can't help but love him more. He's done a lot of things that I would never do, terrible things that hurt many people, but the thing that matters most to me is that he doesn't do them anymore. He hasn't always done the right thing, but I can't ignore all the effort he's made to show me that he's changing, trying to change, that he loves me. I hate to admit it, but there is a sort of poetry to him never caring for anyone except me. I stare at the letter a little longer until there is a knock at the bedroom door. Folding the sheet up, I put it in the bottom drawer of the dresser. I don't want Hardin to try to make me throw it away or tear it up now that I've read it. "Come in," I say, and walk over to the door to meet him. He opens the door, already staring at the ground.
"Did you?"
"I did." I reach up and lift his chin to look at me, the way he usually does to me. His bloodshot eyes are so wide and sad.
"It was stupid. I knew I shouldn't have..."
he begins. "No, it wasn't. It wasn't stupid at all." I move my hand from under his chin, but he keeps his red eyes on mine. "Hardin, it was everything that I've been wanting you to say to me for so long."
"I'm sorry that I took so long, and that I wrote it down. It was just easier. I'm not good at saying things."
The red of his weary eyes is beautiful against the vibrant green of his irises. "I know you aren't."
"Did you? Should we talk about it? Do you need more time now that you know how fucked up I truly am?"
He frowns and looks at the floor again. "You aren't. You were. You've done a lot of things. Bad things, Hardin." He nods in agreement. I can't stand to see him feel so bad about himself, even with his history. "But that doesn't mean you're a bad person. You've done bad things, but you aren't a bad person anymore." He looks up.
"What?"
I take his face between my hands. "I said you aren't a bad person, Hardin."
"You really think that? Did you read what I wrote?"
"Yes, and the fact that you wrote it proves that you aren't." Confusion is clear on his perfect face.
"How can you say that? I don't understand. You wanted me to give you space, and you read all that shit, and you still say that? I don't understand."
I run my thumbs over his cheeks. "I read it, and now that I know everything that you've done, my mind hasn't changed."
"Oh."
His eyes become glossy. The idea of him crying again, especially in front of me, pains me. He's obviously not getting what I'm trying to say. "I already made my mind up while you were gone to stay, and after reading what you wrote, I want to stay more than ever. I love you, Hardin." Chapter 44. Tessa. Hardin takes my hands and holds them for a second before wrapping his arms around me as if I'll disappear should he let go. As I said the words, "I want to stay," I realized how freeing this all is. I no longer have to worry that secrets from Hardin's past will come back to haunt us. I no longer have to wait for someone to drop a huge bombshell on me. I know everything. I finally know everything he's been hiding. I can't help but think of the phrase, "Sometimes it is better to be kept in the dark than to be blinded by the light," but I don't think that applies to me right now. I'm disturbed by the things he has done, but I love him, and have chosen to not let his past affect us any longer. Hardin pulls back and sits on the edge of the bed.
"What are you thinking? Do you have any questions about anything? I want to be honest with you."
I move to stand between his legs. He flips my hands over in his and traces small patterns on my palms as he searches my face for clues to how I am feeling. "No, I do wish I knew what happened to Natalie, but I don't have any questions."
"I am done being that person. You know that, don't you?"
I've already told him I do, but I know he needs to hear it again. "I know that. I really do, babe." His eyes dart to mine at the use of the word.
"Babe?"
He arches his eyebrow. I don't know why I said that. I flush. I've never called him anything other than Harden, so it does feel a little odd to call him Babe like he does me.
No, I like it.
He smiles. I've missed your smile, I tell him, and his fingers stop their movements.
I've missed yours, too.
He frowns.
I don't make you smile enough.
I want to say something to remove that doubt from his face, but I don't want to lie to him. He needs to know how I feel. Yeah, we need to work on that, I say. His fingers move again, drawing little hearts on my palm.
I don't know why you love me.
It doesn't matter why I love you, only that I do.
The letter was stupid, wasn't it?
No! Would you stop with the self-loathing? It was wonderful. I read it 3 times straight. It really made me happy to read the things that you were thinking about me, about us. He looks up, half smirking, half concerned.
You knew I loved you.
Yes, but it was nice to know the small things, the way you remembered what I was wearing, those types of things. You never say those types of things.
Oh.
He looks embarrassed. It is still slightly unnerving to have Harden be the vulnerable one in our relationship. That role has always been mine. Don't be embarrassed, I say. His arms wrap around my waist and pull me onto his lap.
I'm not,
he lies. I run one of my hands through his hair and wrap my other arm around his shoulder. I think you are, I challenge softly, and he laughs, burying his head in my neck.
What a Christmas Eve. It's been a long-ass day,
he complains, and I can't help but agree. Way too long. I can't believe my mother came here. She is so unbelievable.
Not really,
he says, and I pull back to look at him. What?
She's not being unreasonable, really. Yeah, she goes about it the wrong way, but I can't blame her for not wanting you to be with someone like me.
Tired of this talk, and his notion that my mother is somehow right about him, I scowl at him and move off of his lap to sit next to him on the bed.
Tess, don't look at me like that. I'm just saying that now that I've really thought about all the shit I've done, I don't blame her for worrying.
Well, she's wrong, and we can stop talking about her, I whine. The emotional turmoil of the day, of the year really, is making me tired and cranky. The year is almost over. I can't believe it.
Okay, so what would you like to talk about?
He asks. I don't know. Something lighter, I smile, convincing myself to be less cranky. Like how romantic you can be.
I am not romantic,
he scoffs. Yes, you most certainly are. That letter was one for the classics, I tease. He rolls his eyes.
It wasn't a letter, it was a note. A note that was only supposed to be a paragraph at most.
Sure. A romantic note, then.
Oh, would you shut up?
He groans comically. I wrap a lock of his hair around my finger and laugh. Is this where you annoy me to get me to say your name? He moves too quickly for me to respond, grabbing my waist and pushing me back onto the bed, hovering over me with his hands on my hips.
No. I have since come up with other ways to get you to say my name.
He breathes, his lips against my ear. My entire body ignites with only a few words from Harden. Is that so? I say in a thick voice. But suddenly, Natalie's faceless figure appears in my mind, causing my stomach to turn. I think we should wait until your mother isn't in the other room, I suggest. Partly because I clearly need more time to ease back into our relationship, but also because it was already awkward enough doing it once before while she was here.
I can kick her out now,
he jokes, but rolls off to lie next to me. Or I could kick you out.
I'm not leaving again. Neither are you.
The certainty in his tone makes me smile. We are lying next to each other, both of us staring at the ceiling. So this is it, then? We're done with the back and forth? I ask.
Yes, this is it. No more secrets, no more running away. Do you think you can manage not leaving me for a week at least?
I push his shoulder with my arm and laugh. Do you think you can manage to not piss me off for a week at least?
Yeah, probably not,
he answers. I know that he's smiling. As I turn my head to the side, sure enough, a huge grin covers his face. You'll have to stay with me at my dorm sometimes, too. The drive is far.
Your dorm? You aren't living in a dorm, you live here.
We just got back together. Do you really think that's a good idea?
You're staying here. We aren't discussing this any further.
You are obviously confused to be speaking to me that way, I say, then raise myself up on an elbow to look at him. I shake my head lightly and give a slight smile. I don't really want to live in the dorm. I just wanted to see what you would say.
Well,
he says, lifting himself up and mirroring my actions.
I'm glad to see you're back to being annoying.
I'm glad to see you're back to being rude. I was getting worried that after that romantic letter, you had maybe lost your edge.
Call me romantic one more time and I'll take you right here, right now. Mum or no mum.
My eyes widen and he laughs louder than I think I've ever heard him laugh.
I'm joking. You should see your face,
he bellows. I can't help but laugh with him. After we stop, he admits,
I feel like we shouldn't be laughing after all the stuff that happened today.
Maybe that's why we should be laughing. This is what we do. We fight, then make up.
Our relationship is sort of fucked up,
he smiles. Yeah, just a little. It has definitely been a roller coaster.
Not anymore, though, okay? I promise.
Okay. I lean over and give him a quick kiss on the lips. It isn't enough, though. It never is. I bring my lips back to his, and this time I let them linger. Both of our lips part at the same time, and he slips his tongue inside my mouth. My hands fist his hair, and he pulls me on top of him as his tongue massages mine. No matter how messed up our relationship has been, there is no denying our all-consuming passion. I start to move my hips, grinding down onto him, and I feel him smile against my lips.
I think that's enough for now,
he says. Nodding, I shift and lay my head on his chest, reveling in the feeling of his arms wrapping around my back. I hope tomorrow goes well, I say after a few minutes of silence. He doesn't respond, and when I lift up my head, his eyes are closed and his lips are slightly parted in sleep. He must have been exhausted. Then again, so am I. I climb off of him and check the time. It's past 11. I pull his jeans off him, gently so not to wake him, then snuggle up next to him. Tomorrow is Christmas, and I can only pray that it goes much better than today.
Chapter 45. Harden.
Harden.
Tessa's voice is soft. I groan and pull my arm from under her weight. I grab the pillow and cover my face with it.
Not getting up yet.
We slept late and we have to get ready.
She snatches the pillow from me and tosses it onto the floor.
Stay in bed with me. Let's cancel.
I reach for her arm and she rolls onto her side, molding her body to mine.
We can't cancel Christmas.
She laughs as she speaks and presses her lips against my neck. I rock into her, pushing my hips against hers, and she playfully pulls away.
Oh, no you don't.
Her hands push at my chest to keep me from rolling on top of her. She climbs out of bed, leaving me alone. I have half a mind to follow her into the bathroom, not to do anything to her, just to be near her. Yet the bed is too warm, so I decide against it. I'm still reeling from the fact that she's still here. Her forgiveness and acceptance of me will never fail to surprise the fuck out of me. Having her here for Christmas will be different, too. I've never really given a shit about holidays like this, but watching Tessa's face light up over some stupid tree with overpriced ornaments makes the whole thing a little more tolerable. My mum being here isn't too bad either. Tessa seems to adore her, and my mum is almost as obsessed with my girl as I am. My girl. Tessa is my girl again, and I'm spending Christmas with her, and my fucked up family. What a difference from last year, when I spent Christmas Day wasted out of my mind. A few minutes later, I force myself out of bed and find my way to the kitchen. Coffee. I need coffee.
Merry Christmas.
my mum says when I enter the kitchen. Same to you. I walk past her to the fridge.
I made coffee, she says.
I see that. I grab the frosted flakes from on top of the fridge and walk over to the coffee pot.
Harden, I'm sorry for what I said yesterday. I know that I upset you when I agreed with Tessa's mum, but you have to see where I was coming from.
The thing is, I do understand where she's coming from, but it's not her damn place to tell Tessa to leave me. After everything Tessa and I have been through, we need someone on our side. It feels like it's only her and me fighting against everyone, and I need my mum to be on our side. It's just that she belongs with me, Mum. Nowhere else. Only with me. I grab a towel to wipe up the excess coffee spilling over my mug. The brown liquid stains the white towel, and I can almost hear Tessa's voice scolding me for using the wrong towel.
I know she does, Harden. I see that now. I'm sorry.
Me too. I'm sorry for being a dick all the time. I don't mean to be. She seems to be surprised by my words. I guess I don't blame her. I never apologize, regardless if I'm right or wrong. It's my thing, I guess, being an asshole and not owning up to it.
It's okay. We can move past it. Let's have a nice Christmas at your lovely father's house.
She smiles, sarcasm clear in her voice. Yeah, let's move past it.
Yes, let's. I don't want today to be ruined because of that mess last night. I understand it better now, the whole situation. I know you love her, Harden, and I can see you're learning to be a better man. She's teaching you, and that makes me so happy.
My mum brings her hands to her chest, and I roll my eyes.
Really, I'm so happy for you, she says.
Thanks. I look away. I love you, Mum. The words taste odd coming out, but her expression makes it worth it. She gasps.
What did you just say?
Tears immediately pool in her eyes from hearing the words I never say to her. I don't know what made me say it just now. Maybe the way she truly only wants the best for me. Maybe the way she's here now, and she really has played such a big role in Tessa's forgiving me. I don't know, but the look on her face makes me wish I'd have said it sooner. She's dealt with a lot of shit, and she really has tried her best to be a good mum to me. She should have had the simple pleasure of hearing her only child say that he loves her more than once in the last 13 years. I was just so angry. Still am. But it's not her fault. It never has been her fault. I love you, Mum, I repeat, a little embarrassed. She pulls me into her arms and hugs me tighter than I usually allow.
Oh, Harden, I love you too. So much, son.
Chapter 46, Tessa. I decide to wear my hair straight to try something different, but when I finish, it looks odd, so I end up curling it as usual. I'm taking too long to get ready, and it's probably getting close to time to leave. Perhaps I'm taking longer because part of me is stalling, nervous about how today will go. I hope Harden is on his best behavior, or at least tries to be. I go with simple makeup, only wearing a little foundation, black eyeliner, and mascara. I was going to use eyeshadow as well, but I've had to remove the messy line from my top eyelid 3 times before finally getting it right.
You alive in there?
Harden's voice calls through the door. Yes, I'm almost done, I reply, and brush my teeth once more.
I'm going to take a quick shower, but then we need to go if you want to be there on time,
Harden says when I open the door. Okay, I'll get dressed while you shower. He disappears into the bathroom, and I head for the closet, grabbing the sleeveless forest green dress I bought to wear today. The dark green material is thick and the neckline is high. The bow covering my waist is much bigger than it looked when I tried it on the other day, but I'll have a cardigan over it anyway. I retrieve my charm bracelet from the dresser, and my stomach flutters as I read and reread the perfect inscription. I can't decide on what shoes to wear. If I wear heels, I'll probably look too dressy. I go with black flats, and I'm pulling my white cardigan over the dress just as Hardin opens the door, wearing only a towel tied around his waist. Oh. No matter how many times I see him, I still lose my breath at the sight of him. Staring at Hardin's half-naked body, I do not understand how tattoos were not my thing before.
Holy shit,
he says as his eyes rake up and down my body. What? What? I look down to see what's wrong.
You look incredibly innocent.
Wait, is that good or bad? It's Christmas. I didn't want to look indecent. I suddenly feel unsure of what I chose to wear.
Oh, it's good. Very good.
His tongue snakes over his bottom lip, and I finally get it, blushing and looking away before we start something that we should not finish. Not right now, at least. Thank you. What are you wearing?
What I always wear.
I look back at him. Oh.
I'm not dressing up to go to my dad's house.
I know. Maybe you could wear that shirt your mother got you for Christmas, I suggest, even though I know he won't. He barks out a laugh.
Not happening.
He goes to the closet and pulls his jeans off the hanger, which falls to the ground, not that he notices such things. I decide not to say anything. Instead, I walk away from the closet as Hardin's towel falls to the floor. I'm going to go out there with your mom, I squeak out, trying to force myself not to look at his body.
Suit yourself,
he smirks, and I leave the room. When I find Trish in the living room, she's wearing a red dress and black heels, much different from her usual tracksuit. You look so beautiful, I tell her.
You're sure? Is it too much with the makeup and all? She asks nervously. It's not that I care, really. I just don't want to look bad when I see my ex-husband after all these years.
Trust me, bad is the last thing you look, I tell her, which gets her to smile a little.
You two ready?
Hardin asks when he joins us in the living room. His hair is still wet, but somehow it manages to look perfect. He's wearing all black, including the black Converses he wore in Seattle that I love. His mother doesn't seem to notice the all-black attire, likely because she's still focusing on her own appearance. As we get into the elevator, Hardin looks at his mother as if for the first time, then asks,
Why are you so dressed up?
She blushes a little. It's a holiday. Why wouldn't I be?
It just seems weird.
I cut him off before he says something to ruin his mother's day. She looks lovely, Hardin. I'm just as dressed up as she is. During the drive, everyone is quiet, even Trish. I can tell she's anxious, and who could blame her? I'd be incredibly nervous, too. In fact, for different reasons, the closer we get to Ken's house, the more I feel it. I really just want a calm holiday. When we finally arrive and park at the curb, I hear Trish gasp, This is his house?
Yep. I told you it was big,
Hardin says and turns off the car. Didn't think you meant this big, she says quietly. Hardin hops out and opens his mother's door since she's just sitting there in shock. I get out myself, and as we walk up the steps leading to the large house, I see the apprehension on his face. I take his hand in mine to try to calm him, and he looks down at me with a small but noticeable smile. He doesn't ring the doorbell. He just opens the door and walks inside. Karen is standing in the living room with a beaming, welcoming smile that's so infectious it makes me feel a little better. Hardin walks through the foyer first with his mom, and I follow behind him, my hand still in his. Thank you all for coming, Karen says, approaching Trish, since it's just understood Hardin's not one for introductions. Hello, Trish. I'm Karen, she says, and extends her hand. It's so nice to get a chance to meet you. I really appreciate you coming. Karen appears completely calm, but I've gotten to know her well enough to know that's not really the case. Hi, Karen. It's nice to meet you, too, Trish says and shakes her hand. Just then, Ken enters the room and, doing a double take when he sees us, stops dead in his tracks and stares at his ex-wife. I lean into Hardin and hope that Landon told Ken we were coming. Hello, Ken. Trish says, her voice sounding stronger than it's been all morning.
Trish, wow, Hello.
He stammers. Trish, who I'm guessing is pleased by his reaction, nods her head once and says, You look different. I've tried to imagine what Ken looked like back then. Eyes likely bloodshot from liquor, forehead sweaty, face pale, but I can't seem to.
Yeah, so do you,
he says. The awkward tension is making me dizzy, so I'm beyond relieved when Karen suddenly exclaims, Landon! And he joins us. Karen's clearly relieved to see the apple of her eye right now, and he looks the part, dressed in blue slacks and a white dress shirt with a black tie.
You look beautiful,
he compliments me and pulls me in for a hug. Harden's grip on my hand tightens, but I manage to pull my hand free and hug Landon back. You look very nice yourself, Landon, I say. Harden hooks his arm around my waist and pulls me back over to him, closer than before. Landon rolls his eyes at Harden, then turns to Trish.
Hello, ma'am. I'm Landon, Karen's son. It's great to finally meet you.
Oh, please don't call me ma'am, Trish laughs, but it's very nice to meet you, too. Tessa has told me a lot about you. He smiles.
All good things, I hope.
Mostly, she teases. Landon's charm seems to ease some of the tension in the room, and Karen pipes up, Well, you are all just in time. The goose is ready to be served in just a couple of minutes. Ken leads us to the dining room while Karen disappears into the kitchen. I'm not at all surprised to find the table perfectly set with their best china, polished silverware, and elegant wooden napkin rings. Platters of neatly arranged food cover the table. The main goose dish is surrounded by thick slices of oranges. A bundle of red berries rests atop the body. It's so elegantly arranged, and the smell makes my mouth water. A plate of roasted potatoes is directly in front of me. The scent of garlic and rosemary fills the air, and I admire the rest of the table. A large centerpiece full of flowers and ornaments sits in the middle, and each decoration echoes the same orange and berry theme. Karen is always an amazing host. Would anyone like a drink? I have some delicious red wine from the cellar, she says. Her cheeks flush red as she realizes what she just asked. Alcohol is definitely a sensitive subject with this crowd. Trish smiles. I would, actually. Karen disappears, and we're so silent that when she pops the cork in the kitchen, it's a loud sound that feels like it bounces off the walls around us. When she returns with an open bottle, I consider asking for a glass to calm the uneasy feeling in my stomach, but then decide against it. The hostess returned, each of us takes a seat. Ken at the head of the table, Karen, Landon, and Trish on one side of him, Harden and I on the other. After some oohs and ahs at the presentation, no one says a word as they fill their plates with food. After we've all had a few bites, Landon makes eye contact with me, and I can tell he's debating whether or not to speak. I give him a small nod. I don't want to have to break the silence. I take a bite of goose, and Harden puts his hand on my thigh. Landon wipes his mouth with his napkin and turns to Trish.
So what do you think of America so far, Mrs. Daniels? Is this your first time here?
She nods a couple of times. Indeed, it is my first time here. I like it. I wouldn't want to live here, but I do like it. Are you planning on staying in Washington when you finish university? She looks at Ken as if she was asking him instead of Landon.
I'm not sure yet. My girlfriend is moving to New York next month, so it will depend on what she wants to do.
I selfishly hope he doesn't move out there anytime soon. Well, I'll be glad when Harden finishes so he can move back home, Trish says, and I drop my fork onto my plate. All eyes focus on me, and I smile apologetically before picking the utensil back up.
You're moving back to England after you graduate?
Landon asks Harden.
Yeah, of course I am.
Harden answers rudely.
Oh,
Landon says, looking directly at me. Harden and I haven't discussed any plans after college, but him going back to England never once crossed my mind. We will need to discuss this later, not in front of everyone. And you? How do you like America, Ken? Are you planning to live here permanently? Trish asks him.
Yes, I love it here. I'll be staying, most definitely,
he answers. Trish smiles and takes a slow sip of her wine. You always hated America.
Yes, I did,
he replies, and half smiles back at her. Karen and Harden both shift uncomfortably in their seats, and I concentrate on chewing the bite of potato in my mouth.
Does anyone have anything to talk about besides America?
Harden rolls his eyes. I gently kick him under the table, but he doesn't acknowledge it. Karen jumps in quickly, asking me, "How was your trip to Seattle, Tessa?" I've definitely already told her about it, but I know that she's only trying to make conversation, so I tell everyone about the conference and my job again. That gets us through the meal, at least, as everyone keeps asking me questions in a clear effort to stay on this safe, non-ex-wife and ex-husband topic. Once everyone is done with the delicious goose and sides, I help Karen take the dishes to the kitchen. She seems to be distracted, so I don't probe her for conversation as we clean up the kitchen. "Would you like another glass of wine, Trish?" Karen asks once we all move to the living room. Harden, Trish, and I sit on one of the couches. Landon sits on the chair, and Karen and Ken sit on the other couch across from us. It feels as if we are on teams, with Landon acting as a referee. "Yes, please. It's got a really great taste," Trish replies and hands over her empty glass for Karen to fill. "Thank you. We got it in Greece this summer. It was such an amazing..." She stops mid-sentence. After a pause, she adds, "A nice place," before handing Trish back her glass. Trish smiles and gives a little air salute. "Well, the wine is excellent." At first, I'm confused by this awkwardness, but then I realize that Karen has gotten the Ken that Trish never had. She gets trips to Greece and all over the world, a huge home, new cars, and most importantly, she gets a loving and sober husband. I really applaud Trish for being so strong and forgiving. She's making a huge effort to be polite, especially given the circumstances. "Anyone else? Tessa, would you like a glass?" Karen asks as she finishes pouring one for Landon. I look toward Trish and Harden. "Only one, for the holiday," Karen adds. I finally give in and reply, "Yes, please. I'm going to need a glass of wine if the day continues to be this awkward." As she pours, I see Harden nodding his head next to me several times, and then he remarks,
"What about you, Dad? You want a glass of wine?"
Everyone looks at him with wide eyes and open mouths. I squeeze his hand to try to silence him, but he continues with a wicked smirk.
"What? No? Come on, I'm sure you do. I know you miss it."
Chapter 47. Tessa.
"Harden," Trish snaps.
"What? I'm just offering the man a drink. Being social," he says.
I watch Ken, who I can tell is debating whether or not to take Harden's bait, whether to let this become a full-blown argument.
"Stop it," I whisper to Harden.
"Don't be rude," Trish tells him.
Ken finally reacts.
"It's fine,"
he says, and takes a drink of his water. I look around the room. Karen's face has paled. Landon is staring at the large television on the wall. Trish downs her wine. Ken looks bemused, and Harden is glaring at him. Then he shows a simmering smile.
"I know it's fine. You are just angry, so go ahead and say what you please,"
Ken says. He shouldn't have said that. He shouldn't have treated Harden's emotion in this area so trivially, like it was a young boy's opinion that merely had to be endured for a moment.
"Angry? I'm not angry. Annoyed and amused, yes, but angry, no,"
Harden says calmly.
"Amused by what?"
Ken asks. "Oh, Ken, just stop talking."
"Amused by the fact that you're acting as if nothing ever happened, as if you weren't a massive fuck-up."
He points at Ken and Trish.
"You two are being ridiculous. You're crossing the line here,"
Ken says. "Jesus, Ken."
"Am I? Since when do you get to decide where the line is?"
Harden challenges.
"Since this is my home, Harden, that's why I get to decide."
Harden is on his feet immediately. I grab his arm to stop him, but he shakes me off easily. I quickly set my glass of wine on the side table and get up. "Harden, stop," I beg, and grab hold of his arm again. Everything was going well. Awkward, but well. And then Harden had to go and make a rude remark. I know he's angry at his father for his mistakes, but Christmas dinner is not the time to bring this up. Harden and Ken had begun to repair their relationship, and if Harden doesn't stop now, it will get much worse. Ken stands up with an air of authority and asks, much like a professor might,
"I thought we were moving past this. You came to the wedding."
They're only feet away from each other, and I know this will not end well.
Moving past what? You haven't even owned up to anything. You're just pretending that it didn't happen.
Harden is yelling now. My head is swimming, and I wish I had never extended Landon's invite to Harden and Trish. Once again, I've caused a family argument.
Today is not the day for us to be discussing this, Harden. We're having a nice time, and you had to go and start a fight with me,
Ken says. Harden asks, raising his hands in the air,
When is the day, then? God, can you believe this guy? Not Christmas. I haven't seen your mother in years, and this is the time you choose to bring all of this up? You haven't seen her in years because you fucking left. You left us with nothing. No fucking money, no car, nothing.
Harden shouts and steps into his father's face. Ken's face gets red with anger, and then he's yelling.
No money? I sent money every month, a lot of money, and your mum wouldn't accept the car that I offered her. Liar!
Harden blows out a hard breath.
You didn't send shit. That's why we lived in that crap house and she worked 50 hours a week.
Harden? He isn't lying, Trish interjects. Harden's head snaps around to his mother.
What?
This is a disaster. A much bigger disaster than I saw coming. He sent money, Harden, she explains. She puts her glass down and comes over to him.
Where is the money, then?
Harden asks his mother, disbelief clear in his tone.
Paying your tuition.
Harden points an angry finger at Ken.
You said he was paying the tuition,
he yells, and my heart aches for him. He is, with the money that I've saved over the years, money that he sent us.
What the fuck?
Harden rubs his forehead with his hand. I move to stand behind him and thread my fingers through his free hand. Trish puts a hand on her son's shoulder. I didn't use all of it for your tuition. I paid the bills as well.
Why wouldn't you tell me this? He should be paying it, and not with money that was meant to keep us fed, keep us in a house day to day.
He turns to his father.
You still left us, whether you sent money or not. You just left without so much as a fucking call on my goddamn birthday.
Excess saliva pools in the corners of Ken's mouth, and he begins blinking rapidly.
What was I supposed to do, Harden? Stay around? I was a drunk, a worthless drunk, and the two of you deserved better than what I could give you. After that night, I knew I had to go.
Harden's body goes rigid, and his breathing comes in ragged breaths.
Don't you speak of that night. That happened because of you.
When Harden pulls his hand out of mine, Trish looks angry, Landon looks terrified. Karen? Well, she continues crying, and I realize that I'm the one that's going to have to stop this.
I know it did. You don't know how much I wish I could take that back, son. That night has haunted me for the last 10 years,
Ken says hoarsely, clearly trying not to cry.
It haunts you? I fucking watched it happen, you prick. I was there to clean up the fucking blood off the floor while you were still out getting shit-faced.
Harden balls his fists. Karen whimpers and covers her mouth before leaving the room. I don't blame her. I hadn't realized that I was crying until the warm tears hit my chest. I had a feeling something would happen today, but nothing like this. Ken puts his hands in the air.
I know, Harden. I know. There's nothing I can do to erase that. I'm sober now. I haven't had a drink in years. You can't hold that against me forever.
Trish screams as Harden lunges at his father. Landon rushes over to try to help, but it's too late. Harden pushes Ken back against the china cabinet, the replacement for the one Harden had broken months ago. Ken grabs Harden's shirt and is trying to hold him back when Harden's fist connects with his jaw. I stand frozen, as always, as Harden attacks his own father. Ken manages to turn himself and Harden around before Harden can hit him again. Instead, Harden punches through the glass cabinet door. Seeing the blood, I break out of my stupor and grab Harden's shirt. His arm jerks back, knocking me into a table. A glass of red wine topples over, covering my white cardigan.
Look what you did,
Landon yells at Harden and rushes over to my side. Trish is standing by the door, giving her son a murderous glare, and Ken looks at his broken cabinet, then me, as Harden stops his attack against his father and turns to face me.
Tessa. Tessa, are you okay?
He asks. I nod mutely from the floor, watching a trail of blood running off his knuckles and down his arm. I didn't get hurt. My sweater being ruined is too trivial to mention in the middle of this chaos.
Move,
Harden snaps at Landon, and takes his place next to me.
Are you okay? I thought you were Landon,
he says, and helps me up with his one bruised but unbloodied hand. I'm fine, I repeat, and move away from his touch once I'm upright.
We're leaving,
he growls, and goes to wrap his arm around my waist. I move farther away from him. I look over at Ken as he uses the sleeve of his crisp white button-down to wipe the blood off his mouth.
You should stay here, Tessa,
Landon urges.
Don't fucking start with me, Landon,
Harden warns, but Landon doesn't seem to be fazed. He should be.
Harden, stop it now, I snap.
When he lets out a breath but doesn't argue, I turn to Landon. I'll be fine. It's Harden he should be worried about.
Let's go,
Harden commands, but as he walks toward the door, he looks back to make sure that I'm behind him. I'm sorry about all of this, I tell Ken as I follow Harden. Behind me, I hear him softly say,
It's not your fault. It's mine.
Trish is silent. Harden is silent, and I'm freezing. The leather seats are ice cold on my bare legs, and my wet cardigan isn't helping either. I turn the heat all the way up, and Harden looks over at me, but I focus out the window. I can't decide if I should be angry with him. He ruined dinner and literally assaulted his father in front of everyone. However, I feel for him. He has been through so much, and his father is the root of all his problems. The nightmares, the anger, the lack of respect for women. He never had anyone to teach him how to be a man. When Harden puts his hand on my thigh, I don't move it. My head is pounding, and I cannot believe the way everything escalated so quickly.
Harden, we have to talk about what just happened,
Trish says after a few minutes.
No, we don't,
he responds.
Yes, we do. You were way out of line. I was out of line? How can you forget everything he has done?
I have not forgotten anything, Harden. I have chosen to forgive him. I cannot hold on to anger for him. But violence is always out of line. And even short of that, that type of anger will consume you. It will take over your life if you let it. If you hold on to it, it will destroy you. I do not want to live that way. I want to be happy, Harden, and forgiving your father makes it much easier for me to be happy. Her strength never ceases to amaze me, and Harden's stubbornness doesn't either. He refuses to forgive his father for his past mistakes, yet he's quick to ask for my forgiveness at every turn. Harden never forgives himself either, though. Irony at its finest.
Well, I don't want to forgive him. I thought I could, but not after today.
He didn't do anything to you today, Trish scolds him. You provoked him about his drinking for no good reason. Harden removes his hand from my skin, leaving a smudge of blood behind.
He doesn't get a free pass, Mum.
This isn't about free passes. Ask yourself this. What do you get out of being so angry with him? What does that get you besides bloody hands and a lonely life? Harden doesn't answer. He just keeps staring straight ahead. Exactly, she says, and the rest of the ride is silent. When we get back to the apartment, I head straight for the bedroom. You owe her an apology, Harden, I hear Trish say somewhere behind me. I pull my ruined sweater off and let it fall onto the floor. I slip my shoes off and push my hair from my face, tucking the strands behind my ears. Seconds later, Harden opens the bedroom door. His eyes go to the red-stained fabric on the floor, then up to my face. He stands in front of me and takes my hands in his eyes pleading.
I'm so sorry, Tess. I didn't mean to push you like that.
You really shouldn't have done that. Not today.
I know. Are you hurt?
He asks, wiping his wounded hands against his black jeans. No. If he had physically hurt me, we would have much bigger problems.
I'm so sorry. I was in a rage. I thought you were Landon.
I don't like when you get that way. So angry. My eyes pool with tears as I recall Hardin's hand being cut open.
I know, baby.
He bends his knees slightly so he's eye level with me.
I would never hurt you purposely. You know that, don't you?
His thumb traces over my temple, and I nod slowly. I do know that he would never hurt me, physically at least. I have always known that. Why did you comment on his drinking in the first place? Things were going great, I say.
Because he was acting like nothing happened. He was being this fucking pretentious prick, and my mum was just going along with it. Someone had to stand up for her.
His voice is soft, confused, the polar opposite of how it was 30 minutes ago when he was screaming in his father's face. My heart aches again. This was his way of defending his mother. The wrong way, but to Hardin, it's his instinct. He pushes his hair from his forehead, blood staining his skin. Try to consider how he feels. He has to live with that guilt forever, Hardin, and you don't make it any easier. I'm not saying you shouldn't be angry, because that's a natural reaction. But you, of all people, should be more forgiving.
I...
And you have to stop with the violence. You can't just go around beating people up every time you get pissed off. It's not right, and I don't like it at all.
I know.
He looks down at the concrete floor. I sigh and take his hands in mine. We need to get you cleaned up. Your knuckles are still bleeding. I lead him to the bathroom to clean his wounds for what feels like the 1,000th time since I met him. Chapter 48. Tessa. Hardin doesn't even wince as I clean his wounds. I dip the towel back into the sink full of water, attempting to dilute the blood from the white fabric. He looks up at me as I stand over him. He's seated on the edge of the bathtub, and I stand between his legs. He holds his hands up once more. We need to get something to put on your thumb, I tell him, as I twist the towel to wring out the excess water.
It'll be fine,
he says. No, look how deep it is, I scold him. The skin is already mostly scar tissue, and you just keep tearing it back open. He doesn't say anything. He just studies my face. What? I ask him. I drain the pink water and wait for him to respond.
Nothing.
He lies. Tell me.
I just can't believe you put up with my shit,
he says. Me either. I smile. I watch as a frown takes over his face. It's worth it, though, I add, meaning it. He smiles, and I bring my hand to his face, running the pad of my thumb over the pit of his dimple. His smile grows.
Sure it is,
he says, and stands up.
I need a shower.
He removes his shirt before leaning down to turn the shower faucet. I'll be in the room then, I tell him.
Wait, why? Take one with me.
Your mother is in the other room, I explain quietly.
So? It's only a shower. Please?
I can't refuse him. He knows this. The smirk on his face as I sigh in defeat proves it. Unzip me, I request, and turn my back to him. I lift my hair up, and his fingers find the zipper immediately. When the green fabric hits the floor, Hardin says,
I like that dress.
He removes his pants and boxers, and I try not to stare at his naked body as I slide the straps of my bra down my arms. When I'm completely naked, Hardin steps into the shower, holding his hand out for me. His eyes rake down my body and stop at my thighs with a scowl. What? I try to cover myself with my arms.
The blood. It's on you.
He gestures to some faint red marks. It's fine. I grab the loofah and rub it against my skin. He takes it from me and covers it with soap.
Let me.
Hardin kneels, and I can't help the goosebumps that form on my skin at the sight of him on his knees in front of me. The loofah moves up and down my thighs, slowly circling around. The boy has a direct line to my hormones. He brings his face close to my skin, and I try not to squirm as his lips touch my left hip. He keeps one of his hands wrapped around the back of my thigh, holding me in place as he does the same to the right.
Hand me the showerhead,
he says, breaking me from my perverted thoughts. What?
Hand me it, the showerhead,
he says again. I nod and lift the piece from its hook and hand it down to him. Looking up at me with a gleam in his eye and water dripping from his nose, he turns the head in his hand, pointing it directly at my stomach. What are you doing? I squeak, as he moves the object lower. The hot water pulses against my skin, and I watch in anticipation.
Does that feel good?
I nod.
If you think it feels good now, let's see how it feels if we move it down just a little lower.
Every cell in my body is awakened, dancing under my skin as Harden teasingly tortures me. I jump as the water hits me, and Harden smirks. The water feels so good, much better than I'd ever have assumed it could. My fingers wrap into his hair, and I pull my bottom lip between my teeth to stifle my moans. His mother is in the other room, but I can't make him stop. It feels too good.
Tessa.
Harden probes for an answer. Same. Stay there, I pant, and he chuckles, pressing the water closer to me to add more pressure. When I feel Harden's soft tongue run across me just under the water, I nearly lose my balance. It's too much. His tongue lapping with the water pulsing and my knees shaking. Harden, I can't. I'm not sure what I'm trying to say, but when his tongue moves faster, I pull his hair hard. My legs begin to shake, and Harden drops the showerhead and uses both of his hands to hold me up. Fuck, I curse quietly, hopeful that the noise of the shower will drown out my moans. I feel him smile against me before continuing to bring me over the edge. My eyes screw shut as I allow pleasure to take over my body. Harden pulls his mouth from mine long enough to say,
Come on, baby. Come for me.
I do just that. When I open my eyes, Harden is still kneeling and his hand is wrapped around his cock. It's hard and heavy in his grip. Still catching my breath, I drop to my knees. I wrap my hand around his, stroking him. Stand up, I quietly instruct. His eyes lower and he nods, getting to his feet. I bring his length to my mouth, licking the tip of him. Fuck. He sucks in a breath, and I lap my tongue around him. I wrap my arms around the back of his legs to keep my balance on the wet floor and take his cock down my throat. Harden's fingers dig into my wet hair, holding me still as he moves his hips, thrusting into my mouth.
I could fuck your mouth for hours.
He thrusts a little faster and I groan. His dirty words make me tighten the section of my lips around him and he curses again. The animalistic way he's completely claiming my mouth is new. He has total control and I love it.
I'm going to come in your mouth, baby.
He pulls at my hair a little more and I can feel the muscles in his legs tighten under my hands, and he curses my name repeatedly as he relieves himself down my throat. After a few ragged breaths, he helps me to my feet and kisses my forehead.
I think we're clean now.
He smiles, licking his lips. I'd say so, I say with a ragged breath, and grab the shampoo. Once both of us are actually clean and ready to get out, I run my hands along his abs, tracing the skull pattern on his stomach. My hand creeps lower, but Harden's fingers grip my wrist to stop me.
I know I'm hard to resist, but my mum is just in the other room. Have some self-control, young lady.
He teases, and I swat at his arm before climbing out of the shower and grabbing a towel. This coming from someone who just used... I flush, unable to finish the sentence.
You liked it, didn't you?
He raises his eyebrow and I roll my eyes. Go get my clothes from the room, I tell him in a bossy tone.
Yes, ma'am.
He wraps the towel around his waist and disappears from the steamy bathroom. I swipe my hand across the mirror after wrapping my soaking hair in a towel. Today has been a hectic and very stressful Christmas. I should probably call Landon later, but first I want to talk to Harden about his moving back to England after college idea. He's never mentioned it to me before.
Here.
Harden hands me a pile of clothes and leaves me alone in the bathroom to get dressed. I'm amused to find the red lace bra and panties set, along with the sweats and a clean black t-shirt. Clean because the one from today is bloodied. Chapter 49. Tessa. Our last night with Harden's mom consists mostly of drinking tea and her telling embarrassing stories of when Harden was little. That and about 10 reminders that next year Christmas is in England. No excuses. The thought of celebrating Christmas with Harden a year from now makes my stomach flutter. For the first time since we met, I can see a future with him. Not necessarily having children and getting married, but for once I feel secure enough about his feelings to be able to look a year ahead. The next morning, when Harden returns from dropping Trish off at the airport at far too early an hour, I wake up. I hear him drop his clothes onto the floor and he climbs back into bed wearing only boxers. He wraps his arms around me once more. I'm still a little irritated with him from our earlier conversation, but his arms are cold and I missed him during his absence from our bed. I go back to work tomorrow, I say after a few minutes, unsure if he's already fallen asleep or not.
I know,
he replies. I'm excited to get back to Vance.
Why?
Because I love it there. And I've had the week off. I miss working.
You're quite the overachiever,
he mocks, and I know he's rolling his eyes even though I can't see his face. Reflexively, this makes me roll my own eyes. Sorry that I love my internship and you don't like your job.
I do like my job, and I had the same job you have. I just left it for something better,
he brags. Do you only like it more because you get to do it from home?
Yeah, that's the main reason.
What's the other reason?
I felt like people thought I only got the job because of Vance.
This is not a huge revelation, but it's a much more honest answer than I expected from him. I expected a word or two about how the job sucked or was annoying. Do you really think people thought that? I roll onto my back and Harden leans up on his elbow to look down at me.
I don't know. No one said it, but I felt like they were thinking it. Especially after he hired me as an actual employee, not just an intern.
Do you think he was upset when you left to work for someone else? He smiles a smile that appears especially bright in the half-lit bedroom.
No, I don't think so. His employees were constantly complaining about my supposed attitude anyway.
Supposed attitude? I tease. He cups my cheek and dips his head down to kiss my forehead.
Yes, supposed. I'm very charming. No attitude at all.
He smiles against my skin. I giggle and he smiles even more, pressing his forehead against mine.
What do you want to do today?
He asks. I don't know. I was thinking of calling Landon and going to the store. He draws back a little.
For what?
To talk to him and see when he can meet up with me. I'd like to give him those tickets.
The gifts are at their house. I'm sure they already opened them.
I don't see them opening them without us being there.
I do.
My point exactly. I tease. But Harden's already turned serious with the mention of his family.
Do you think? What do you think about me apologizing? Well, not apologizing, but what if I called him, you know, my dad?
I know that I need to tread lightly when it comes to Harden and Ken. I think you should call him. I think you should try to make sure what happened yesterday doesn't ruin the beginning of the relationship you were forming with him.
I guess.
He sighs.
After I hit him, I thought for a second that you were going to stay there and make me leave.
You did?
Yeah, I did. I'm glad you didn't, but that's what I thought.
I lift my head off the mattress and plant a small kiss on his jawline instead of answering. I have to admit that I probably would have done just that had he not already come clean about his past. That changed everything for me. It changed the way I look at Harden. Not in a negative way or a positive one, just a more understanding way. Harden looks past me toward the window.
I can call him today, I guess.
Do you think that we could go to their house? I really want to give them their gifts. Blinking back to me, he says,
We could just tell them to open them while you're on the phone. That's basically the same, only you won't have to see their fake smiles at your terrible presence.
Harden, I whine. He chuckles and lays his head on my chest.
I'm teasing. You give the best gifts. That keychain with the wrong sports team was killer.
He laughs. Go back to bed. I swat at his messy hair.
What did you need from the store?
He asks as he lies back down. I forgot that I had mentioned that. Nothing.
No, you said you needed to go to the store. What was it? Plugs or something?
Plugs?
You know, to plug yourself.
What? I don't get it.
Tampons.
I blush. My whole body blushes, I'm sure. Oh, no.
Do you even have a period?
Oh my God, Harden, stop talking about it.
What? You're embarrassed to talk about your menstruation with me?
When he lifts up his face to look at me, a huge grin is plastered across it. I'm not embarrassed. It's just inappropriate, I defend, highly embarrassed. He smiles.
We've done quite a few inappropriate things, Teresa.
Don't call me Teresa and stop talking about it. I groan and cover my face with my hands.
Are you bleeding now?
I feel his hand travel down my stomach. No, I lie. I have gotten away from exactly this situation before because we're always so on and off, and it just never happened. Now that we're going to be around each other more steadily, I knew this would happen. I just was avoiding it.
So you wouldn't mind if I...
His hand slips into the top of my panties. Harden! I squeal and smack his hand away. He chuckles.
Admit it then. Say, Harden, I'm on my period.